Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
It's an absolutely gorgeous day. It's March 25th already. We're heading into April. We're heading to the first major of the year, the ANA Inspiration. The first major of the year, the Masters. And the round of 16 is underway. The WGC Dell Technologies match play. Dustin Johnson could make history winning this event. Phil Mickelson still very strong. He won all of his matches in pool play. He has won in the Sweet 16 going into the next round. John Rahm also very strong. Interesting, of course, John's agent is Phil's brother. On the show this morning, Ted Bishop, the general manager at the Legends Golf Club, contributor to Morning Read, and the 38th president of the PGA of America. Jason Diger, Golf Tech, Honolulu. He's the center manager. Honolulu Star Advertiser Best of 2015, Director of Instruction, and he's been helping me put my game back together again. Gary Van Sickle, golf writer, contributor to Morning Read and the Golf Insiders. We're going to see if there's something we could do about this match play format. I had the hardest time this week keeping tabs. I mean, I work, so I want to go see a leaderboard. I want to say, hey, that's what's happening. Awesome, I can't wait for the weekend. I looked at the leaderboard and I said, hey, I don't have a clue what's happening. How am I going to follow this on the weekend? Well, it's all shaping up very nicely. And Ron Syrak, Golf Channel contributor and author of Vision 54 Trilogy. We're going to do a preview of the ANA and the Masters. But first, let's thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Allen Nakata and Associates, the pre-Social Security and Social Security recipient specialists on Oahu and Maui. The team will help you and your parents avoid problems before they come up. That's Allen Nakata, 548-7526. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years. Poipu Bay Golf Course, an outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. Kauai's South Shore Gem. Futura Stone. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building, warehouse, showroom, or your home project into artwork. Futura Stone, only the best. And by Claude Brousseau, master PGA professional, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Vision 54 coach, Aimpoint certified, and Golf Channel lead coach. You need a lesson with Claude Brousseau. Creative Plumbing. Whether a building, shopping center, store, a custom home, or townhouse, a new build, renovation, or repair, call Creative Plumbing, because it has to be done right. Creative Plumbing. And by Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home, Raynor Doors.
Did you know there are two things that you can do to increase the value of your home? One is painting it, and the other is adding a Raynor door. Seriously, a garage door opener. Raynor doors. You can just add that to your home and you increase the value of your home. And new in Kahala, there's Good Day Coffee. Coffee is the perfect way to start a good day, offering excellent cappuccinos, espresso drinks, 100% Kona coffee from the Big Island. They're located inside the consignment center at 4230 Waialae, right across the street from Kahala Mall, with outside seating and free Wi-Fi. And they have delicious toasted bagels, too, with Philadelphia cream cheese and capers and red onions and lox. And my favorite is the fat-free Greek yogurt topped with fresh strawberries, bananas, blueberries, granola, and a drizzle of honey. That's just $5. It's excellent. Wonderful portions, too. Okay, the forecast, because, of course, you are going to go play a round of golf, and there's a tee time open for you at 9:10 at Turtle Bay, or 12 o'clock, at the Royal Hawaiian Country Club at 9:30 or 11 o'clock. Hapuna on the Big Island Volcano. Let's go to Volcano. I've got a 9:20 there and a 10:30. Makalei on the Big Island has a 9:40 and a 10:10. Makaha East, a 10:30. Wailea Gold Course, an 8:36. Maui Nui, a 10:28. The forecast? Well, it says we're going to have a sunny day this morning with isolated showers, windward and Mauka sections. Yes, it says isolated showers, windward and mocha. The easterlies are 15 to 20, and they're just going to turn into kind of a partly cloudy day. But did you know that partly cloudy actually means it's going to be mostly sunny with a few clouds in the sky? Let's welcome into the clubhouse Ted Bishop, 38th president of the PGA of America, manager and PGA director of golf at the Legends Golf Club, contributor to Morning Read, and of course, I introed that just for you, Ted. Welcome to the show.
Well, great to be with you again, Danielle, and I love your positive take on the weather for a change.
You know, you wrote in Morning Read, and by the way, you can get your Morning Read. All you do is go to Morning Read and then enter your email address, and you'll get your Morning Read in your inbox every day. And one of the subjects that Ted Bishop wrote about was the weather forecast can ruin a golf course's income. Does that sum it up?
Yeah, I think that's pretty true. I think the title of the article is more about the impact of the weather forecast on the business of golf. But I would use today in Indianapolis as a prime example. Right now it's 72 degrees. It's partly cloudy, as you say. And I opened the day up and I had 31 players on my tee sheet because all week long the long-range forecast had been calling for rain today. And if you started looking at the radar weather models 2 or 3 days out and you could see where the flow of the radar was headed, you could easily tell that it was going to miss Indianapolis, which it has. And we've had a few walk-ons today, but there's no question. I ran into a couple of guys at the grocery store when I went to pick up a few supplies, and I'm like, how's come you're not playing golf? And they were like, well, they said it was going to rain all week. So, yeah, there's a few strategic things that I think golfers can do to really get a more accurate gauge of the weather.
Yeah, for Hawaii, it's a lot of us have lived here so long. We just look outside, check the mountains, check the ocean, you know, and we have these microclimates. It could be raining on the Leeward Coast, just 20 miles away, when it's absolutely brilliant sunshine at Ko'olina, just, 5 miles from where it's pouring. So it changes so much. And like you said, though, what the weather service people and the reporters on television or on the radio, they just take pieces. It's like a synopsis, but it's so boiled down to a few words that it can't tell you anything. It doesn't say that, you know, this thing may miss us. So you really need to look into it yourself and do a little investigation to figure out what the weather is really going to be about.
Yeah, and I think the most telling statistic that is used is the percentage of precipitation, particularly back here in this part of the continental United States. And, you know, if you really talk to a meteorologist and you get the definition of percentage of precipitation, basically it's just a multiplier of what chance the meteorologist thinks that it might rain in the viewing area that they cover and what percentage of that viewing area might get some measurable precipitation, which could be as little as 1/100th of an inch. So the percentage of precipitation is a thing that golfers need to completely throw out the window. The other thing is the 7-day forecast, because you talk to anybody that's in the meteorology field and they will tell you that anything past a couple of days is just an absolute crapshoot. But, you know, what I've started doing, and, you know, this is what I would encourage operators to do, you know, out there as well. Just this week, I started doing a weather blog. And, you know, I will update this weather blog maybe 3 times during the week. And we're posting it on social media. We're putting it on our website. And, you know, what I really want to try to do is to get my players to be more in tune maybe to checking my weather blogs than listening to what the forecasters are saying. And I'm even I'm feeling pretty good about this, Danielle, to where I may even offer incentives to people if they come out on a day there's a shaky forecast, and if my weather blog's wrong, then maybe I give them a sleeve of balls or
That's a good idea. You are so proactive. I love it. See, in Hawaii, first off, I got to tell you, we're all ducks over here because it's usually not cold and raining. So sometimes old rain is actually refreshing. Like by the 10th hole, you're kind of, you know, getting a little sweaty. So a little rain in the warm temperature, it's wonderful. We just keep on playing. But the reason I say you're so proactive, I mean, as PGA of America president, you launched so many task force and accelerating the growth of the game measures like foot golf and the PGA Junior League, technology, introducing that aspect, game golf, for instance, getting that into the game so people can figure out the distance they want to hit a golf ball. What club should I take? I love how you look at the game and how you actively try to bring people into it by making it more, well, easier. And I had this interesting conversation with a new app. They're called 18 Birdies. And one of the things that keeps people away from the golf course is they are ashamed of their game. It's called game shame. I thought that was fascinating. But another thing that they found is that so many more millennials are interested in playing if they could bet. You know, they also want to go and just a 4 out of 10 non-golfers question were interested in learning and playing. So obviously there's a large group of people who want to get into the game, want to play more, and they're looking for new options.
Oh, no, I think those are great observations. And, you know, one of the stories that I'd done for Morning Read was a Q&A with Joe Bennett from the National Golf Foundation. And Joe referred to this game shame topic as well. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. I was having a conversation with a guy the other day, and I said, you know, do you play a lot of golf? And he said, well, I play a lot of golf, but I don't consider myself a golfer. And I said, well, what, you know, what's your handicap or what kind of scores do you shoot? And he's like, well, usually I'm in the high 80s or the low 90s. And, you know, I said, are you kidding me? You're the core golfer in this country. But to your point, those are the people who shoot those kinds of scores, I guess, based on what they see on television each and every week.
Yeah.
They kind of have an inferiority complex about the way they play when the fact of the matter is, you know, they're in a very a small group of what I would consider to be pretty good players around the country. And, you know, the thing with the millennials is it's very pertinent. I've struggled here trying to develop a younger customer base. And, you know, one of the things that I did here that I'm really seeing some traction on today, actually, and something that some people out there might be interested in. But I put a millennial rate in on my weekends. And, you know, I started giving people that are 35 and under a price break from 11 to 2 and then after 2. And what I've found is a lot of these people that were going into golf now and were taking my barter times late in the day and playing for a really competitive rate, they are paying these millennial rates, and they're coming out to play because they can do it at a time that's obviously better than 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And if you study millennials at all, you know that so many of them are strapped with college student loan debt. Only 75% of them are really employed full time. So money is a big factor. And, you know, it's totally different than, you know, we've always given seniors discounts, and these are people who've got the time and money to play golf. And I think that if we're going to try to build up this group of younger players and get them to play more, this is a good way to do it. And honestly, most public golf courses, your tee sheets start dying out after 11 o'clock in the morning and then after 2. You know, it's just kind of hit and miss. So I don't think you're really doing anything that's going to be counterproductive. You're just going to attract some new golfers. And they do spend money when they get here.
They do. Now, what do they spend money on?
You know, I was just, before I came down to do this interview, I was down running my snack bar a little bit, and, you know, three guys came in, they bought a cooler of beer, two of them bought hot dogs and some other food items, and, you know, between the three of them, they walked out and they'd spent
$30. Uh-huh, uh-huh. See, you get them in, and then people want to spend money.
They do.
Yeah, it's true. I as soon as I see the snack bar, hey, I'm here, I want to get something from the snack bar. It doesn't matter if I have a power bar in my bag. I still want to buy something from the snack bar. So I looked up your interview with NGF's Joe Pettitz, the National Golf Foundation, And you, in this interview with him, I just pulled up the public courses part, because we have some great public courses on Oahu that are much more affordable for everyday people. You know, the, most of our resort courses are $60, and that's for people who live here to go and play. And that's pricey. If you want to take two of the family goes out, that's really expensive after a while. You know, you want to play more than... So the munis are, but he talks about some of the public courses. Everyone wants to feel welcome, but we don't always feel welcome because of the baby boomers. I thought that was an interesting observation. I'm a baby boomer, and men who don't want kids and women on the golf course.
Well, you know what? I hate to tell or hate to say this, but I really kind of agree with him. And I think that a lot of public golf courses, mine included, you've got a clientele of regular players who are over 50 years of age, and they've got two things in mind. They want to play as fast as they can. They've always got somewhere to go. And, you know, they're just they can send that vibration out to new people at the golf course that maybe they don't feel as welcome as they sometimes would like to feel when they walk in. And I thought one of the things that Joe had told me in that interview that was interesting, pointing to women, was he said that explains why women play three times as much golf on private clubs as they do at public golf courses. And I know as a public course, we've always struggled to get women out here to play. And I think a lot of it is that environment. And I thought Joe summed it up pretty well, and I'd have to say I agree with what he said.
Well, I think a lot of people feel that. You know, when you go to a golf course, you can sense there are people sitting around in areas, and they're kind of sizing you up, and you feel like, wow, you know, should I take another step forward?
You know, I've got a great group of guys that play here that, you know, when they're done playing, they'll congregate down in the snack bar, and they'll have a few beers, and they're a loud group. And I've often thought to myself, if a family walks in when those guys are down in the snack bar, if a group of women walk in, not that the language is necessarily crude or anything like that, but it's just, it's really, as an operator, it's sometimes not presenting the atmosphere that you'd like for it to present. And at the same time, that's a valuable group of customers at my facility. So, you know, you kind of have to balance the scales, but at least if you're aware that that situation exists, then, you know, maybe you can do something about it when they walk in the door.
Yeah, I was just thinking of the pubs where there's like a little back room where you put the raucous crew.
Right.
Hey, boys, go back.
Right.
That's wonderful. So we're talking with Ted Bishop, the 38th president of the PGA of America and manager and PGA director of golf at the Legends Golf Club. You actually helped build this golf club back in 1991.
Yeah, we did. This is will be our 25th year of being open, and we're in the process of doing a bunker renovation and a lot of things that are good for the golf course and good for the people that play here. But yeah, I've been here since day one.
And so, what's your dress code? Is, you know, no jeans, and are you getting more relaxed in that department though?
Oh, you know, we've always allowed jeans.
Oh.
We've always allowed, you know, if T-shirts are presentable, you know, they're fine. Obviously, you know, shorts are great. I mean, I'd say have always had a pretty relaxed dress code here. We don't allow tank tops, and you got to have a shirt on.
yeah, right.
But, you know.
Well, what did you think of when, you know, I was reading a little bit, so I kind of know, but I'd like you to be kind of, what did you think of the relaxed dress code for the PGA Championship?
Well, let me qualify my answer to this question by saying you're talking to a guy that spent a lot of time working outside last year, okay? And I think the only time that I ever wore long pants at my facility last year, probably after Memorial Day, would have been a day when I stood behind the counter and, you know, checked players in and did that on those days. But every other day, I had a pair of shorts on. So I love wearing shorts. Love wearing shorts. But I don't think shorts are appropriate at a major championship, even in a practice round. And I don't think it's something that you would ever see any of the other three majors do. And I think the thing that surprised me about the PGA's decision to do that is this came up back in 2014 when I was the president. And Pete Bevacqua, our CEO, had come to me at the time, and he said, you know, it's probably going to be really hot in Louisville at Valhalla. What do you think about letting players wear shorts in practice rounds? And I said, you know, I don't have any thoughts one way or the other, but I said, how about if I reach out to the commissioner of the PGA Tour and let's just kind of gauge his opinion? So I called Tim Finchem and told Tim what we were kind of tossing around, and he just simply said, you know, let me put it to you this way. We really would appreciate it if you would not pursue that. And I said, okay, enough said. And he went on to say, you know, we just feel that we're trying to present a brand. Sponsor relationships are very important to us. The professionalism that our players represent is a big deal, and we just feel that we don't want to go there, and we don't even want to see that get started. So I was, to be honest with you, Daniel, I was shocked when I saw that the PGA was going to do that based on that conversation that Finchem and I had had in 2014. And it led me to believe maybe that Jay Monahan, the new commissioner, had a different philosophy, and it was pretty apparent with Jay's comments on that, that he didn't have a different opinion than Finchem did. He shared the same thoughts that Tim did. And so, you know, it's a new day at the PGA of America, and I know they're trying to do a lot of things to make the game look and feel more relaxed. I just don't know what this one accomplishes.
And kind of like casual Friday at the office. And that was one of the responses in Morning Reed's inbox, too.
Yeah. No, it is. But, you know, I would equate it to baseball. You know, I mean, it's hot in baseball stadiums. And I remember one year the Chicago White Sox decided that they were going to wear shorts and basically knee-length socks on days when it was really hot in Comiskey Park. And they just about got laughed out of the American League. And, you know, I don't see the New York Yankees ever showing up on a 95-degree day in Yankee Stadium wearing pinstripe Bermuda shorts. And, you know, it's like an institution that baseball can put up with in a hell of a lot hotter environment than usually what's going on the golf course. Plus, the other thing that was interesting to me about this is my 24-year-old assistant golf professional, Joe Plana, says to me, you know, as advanced as the golf slacks are today and as cool as they are to wear, he said, sometimes you almost feel like you have shorts on when you're wearing these slacks. And that's exactly right. The technology, you know, on the clothing today is outstanding. So, you know, I guess this is when I sound like I'm 63 years old.
No, you know what? I get it, because when I think that when if a sponsor is putting up all that money for me to win $1 million to win the tournament that they're putting up the money for, I should dress up to be there. And I think that's really where the PGA Tour is coming from, you know. And I understand why we should dress up. You keep your pants on, you know.
No, you're right. When I was doing this story for Morning Reed on this topic, I thought, you know, I'm going to try to get comments from players of all ages. So I reached out to a couple of the younger players on the PGA Tour, a couple of the top players, and the names are going to remain anonymous, but they're stars in the game today. And their responses were, we have absolutely nothing to gain by publicly commenting on this situation. And the next guy I talked to was Hale Irwin. And Hale's one of the most creative and brightest guys that have ever played the game. And he started laughing, and he said, you know, I wear shorts all the time, but he said, I have never worn shorts to a professional engagement that I've had. He said, I suppose it was hot enough. Maybe I might, you know, might consider doing it, but he laughed, and he said, but you know what? He said, if they're going to do that, he said, I think they need to hire a dress cop to go out there and police what people are going to wear, make sure the type of shorts they wear match the legs that they're going to show.
Oh, I like it. Yes, you better have a nice pair of legs if you're going to wear shorts. It's a real pleasure talking with you. I wanted to ask you about the rules changes, the proposed changes, and we've got a comment period that goes on for a while. You'll have to come back on again soon.
All right, we'll do it. I love talking to you, too.
Thank you very much. Ted Bishop, 38th President of PGA of America, manager and director of golf at the Legends Golf Club and contributor to Morning Read. You can get your Morning Read. Just go to morningread.com and then give them your email address, and it'll come to you every morning, your Morning Read. Thanks, Ted. Aloha. We're going to come back. We're going to talk with Jason Dygert. He is the center manager and the director of instruction at Golf Tech Honolulu. And he's been helping me with my swing. And he's made huge, huge strides getting me to where I can actually feel comfortable even with the fairway wood. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
My doctor recommended Allen Nakata and Associates, the pre-Social Security and Social Security recipient specialists on Oahu and Maui. You should really check them out. Their team will help you and your parents avoid problems before they come up. Their dedication, commitment, experience, and empathy all come from the heart. So call Allen Nakata and Associates at 548-7526 and learn how you can hang on to what you have and keep your parents at home. Allen Nakata is your guide.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futuristone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futuristone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative Plumbing!
Your experts on call.
It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Jason Dygert, Golf Tech Hawaii Center Manager, Director of Instruction, Honolulu Star Advertiser, Best of 2015 at Golf Tech right now. In fact, you've only got a few more days, and you should call them at 441-0105. They're not open yet, but I want to keep saying that number, 441-0105. It's the March swing sale, and it's 20% off, okay? Need to take advantage of this. And just as a little background, okay, I'm kind of recovering my game from back surgery. And I didn't have a herniated disc. It was much more invasive surgery, so it's like you're constantly recovering from back surgery. You're never actually fixed. You're just, you're better than you were, but you're not fixed. So you always have to watch it. You always have to take it into consideration. Which one should from the gate? You know, from the outset of life, one should be building one's core. And you watch kids that are active and playing, and their tummy's all tight. You know, what happens, I guess, when we go to college and you stop exercising or getting outdoors, something happens where you kind of loosen in the core and you lose that tightness and you don't support your back anymore. And things, you start sitting at the computer and you're hunched over and it just goes from there. And just remember that, you know, stand up straight, pull your stomach in, take care of your back, because if you don't take care of it, it can't take care of you. Bottom line is, I decided that, hey, if I'm going to get back into the game after this surgery, I want to do everything. I've never taken serious lessons for any length of time. I want to start from the grip, you know, everything. I want to know everything, my stance, you know, how the ball position. Am I putting it in the right place for each club? And so I went to Jason Diger at Golf Tech. It's right down by Ala Moana Shopping Center. It's really close. And it's open. Let me bring... I'm just going to continue to talk, Jason Diger.
Good stuff, Danielle. Good intro here.
So he's really close by. So if you're anywhere in the Honolulu metropolitan area and you just can't travel to a golf course, you know, it's indoors. You can do it in any weather. And it's really cool the amount of feedback that you get. Don't be afraid of the video. You know, if you take your emotions out of what you look like, and most women will go, I don't want to see my swing. And I didn't either, Jason. But it's more than that. It's about body image. You know, you see yourself on the video and most women will say, oh gosh, I need to lose some weight there. And boy, that thing doesn't look on me very, you know, it's like we're looking at ourselves, not the technical function. If you could, you turn us anyway. So that's what you need to go do this. If you've ever been thinking about your game, getting your game better, Jason Diegert, Golf Tech Hawaii. He's got a great staff. He's the center manager and they have the March swing sale. It's 20% off now. And the number is 441-0105. It'd be worth coming over from the neighbor island to do this. So we've been working on everything, haven't we?
We have been, yes. We started with just good, solid fundamentals. The good thing about our center, and just to touch briefly on what you said about the location of it, the concept of Golf Tech, which started about 20 years ago, was to make golf improvement centers easily accessible to people so that they can get in for a lesson or a practice session at lunch or even before they go to work or after work. They don't have to take 2-3 hours out of their day to go practice and or drive out to the course and park and haul their clubs out to the range and do all this stuff. It's very easy to get in and get out and get some efficient quality practice time at our center. When you're indoors, it's great technology that the player, the student can see. We have the monitor on the floor so you can see your swing from two different camera angles. You can see the things that we've been looking at, Danielle, in terms of what you mentioned about posture and, you know, how we can get slouchy sitting in a computer or sitting at a computer. And if you see yourself on the monitor with that slouchy posture, you can say, okay, I got to open up my shoulders a little bit and engage my core muscles and, you know, we can see ball position. We can see the shape of your golf swing and lateral movement of your swing and just really help a player understand what they're good at and maybe what's causing some problems in their golf swing so that they know what to practice more effectively.
Absolutely. And one thing that I've noticed when I watch myself and I think I'm holding my back straight, I'm really not, because for so many years I haven't had good back posture that I have to hyper exaggerate to really pull, like you said, open up the shoulders, pull the spine so that you're, you know, then your arms, there's a relationship with that posture. Tell us about how the spine angle affects the arm's ability to then make that swing.
Yeah, ideally, you know, when a player's in a good athletic balance in golf, we definitely want to be a little bit more balanced over the arches of your feet. A lot of athletes who are involved in baseball or basketball, where you're tennis players, where you're more on the balls of your feet, that's more intended for being able to move quickly. Well, in golf, we want to be very stable. We want to center that weight over the arches of our feet, almost like a player is doing a squat, so that your lower body is able to use the ground as leverage better. And then from there, we can look at a player's posture and how much they're bending forward. One of the things that we do at Golf Tech is we have motion measurement. So we have a shoulder sensor and a hip sensor, and it measures how many degrees you are bending forward at address. And Golf Tech over the last 20 years have tested hundreds of thousands of players, but you know, tour players in particular, and they all kind of fall within a range of where they're positioning their body. And that's what we can measure. And if a player is too slouched over, not only can we see that on the video, but we can measure it too. And we can say, you see this, where you're at here, and you're bending your shoulders 55 degrees forward. Well, tour players are about 40. And, you know, by the way, look at Christy Kerr here next to you. And that's what it looks like. And so they can see that and they, oh, okay, well, I can set up like Christy Kerr. And that way it makes you more able to create a good, effective, efficient golf swing.
Yeah. And what's really important is, you know, I know I'm never going to play like Christy Kerr, who, by the way, is leading the Kia Classic on the LPGA Tour. But I can at least get my body into the position. I can see how she has her body, and that will make my swing better if I can get myself at least in a setup position to start that way, to take my backswing, you know, and then come down correctly. And the beauty of the video that I saw was it my driver or my fairway wood? When I, you know, that in and out, I thought I was taking it straight back, and I was way out to the right. You know, and then I had to make this big correction to come back down and hit the ball. You're just adding all these different elements to the game when it could be just easy. There shouldn't be that hard that I put my club in the wrong place so that I have to bring it back to the ball to actually hit it. And I don't even know I'm doing all that, Jason.
Yeah, you don't, and it's really hard to understand and to know what's going on until you're able to see it, until you're able to measure it. You know, and in that way, it's much easier for a player to practice. There's so much information out there as to how to practice and what you should be doing. And most of it is really good, but it's not really specific to one player. And so you can go in and out of all of these swing thoughts, and you never really do any of them long enough to develop an unconscious skill or develop that so that it's a little bit more permanent in your golf swing. So when you get in there, it's very specific to what the player is doing. And we found with you, Danielle, you actually, you know, with the stuff you've had with your back, you actually turn very well. I know you were wondering if you're able to turn your body as much as you needed to. And it turns out that you were. It was just fine. You don't have to turn more and strain anything.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's really the shape of the golf swing mostly that we working on with you, trying to get that downswing path moving on a little bit more of an in to out path is what we call it, or really it's just swinging the club in the downswing the same way that you're taking the club back on the backswing, which is a big thing with golfers. It's probably the biggest flaw that we see with golfers is because if players use too much upper body, they're not swinging the club back, or I'm sorry, they're not swinging the club down on the same path they're taking it back on. So, you know, this kind of stuff is kind of hard to see because the golf swing takes about a second and a half. And when we can look at it in video, you can say, all right, well, this is what's going on when we slow this down. So let's see if we can't get this club moving through the impact zone in a little bit a different path to help you improve your ball flight.
That's beautiful. See, now this is where Jason Dygert, he's the center manager and director of instruction of Golf Tech Hawaii. So the Honolulu Star Advertiser Best of 2015. So he's got all these little things to do, like, you know, the swim noodles that you see. So to give you a visual, because you can't watch your backswing unless it's on video and you look at it later, right? So you actively can't see what you're doing back there, but you can put something in your peripheral vision that says, don't hit this. You know, don't, you got to come within this. It's like a, it's having like a white line for you, but he uses the noodle said, this is where you don't want to hit, get outside there. You don't want to hit that. You want to, do y'all have a club head cover? Yeah. And is it an animal? You have an affection for your club head cover. It's an adult version of a stuffed animal. Okay. So you take that off your club head and you put it right there on next to you. And you can't hit that little thing. Those kinds of things, Jason Digert, made it so much easier. And then clipping or hitting the business card. You know, we all want to hit the ball on the wrong side. You know, you want to hit the ball before you actually get to the ball. All of that is kind of instinctive. But it doesn't work. That instinctiveness doesn't work in the game of golf, and these tricks that you do, what's the word I'm looking for, that you use all these things that help people just figure it out.
Yeah, little training aids like that, little simple things when you're on the driving range can really help you ultimately strike the ball more effectively. I mean, if you're having problems hitting fat shots. Well, it helps to have maybe step back from the ball for a few minutes, put something down on the ground. That's not a golf ball, that helps you learn how to hit the ground in the right spot or how to strike the ground in the right spot. Because ultimately, if you sit there and there's a business card or a tee on the ground and you keep hitting the ground in front of it, well, if you keep that same ball position, eventually you're going to learn that you've got to shift your weight more to your lead foot in order for you to hit that little thing on the ground. And those little things can really help you start to practice correctly so that you can improve your ball striking. And you can be trying all of these little, you know, things in, you know, stronger grip or, you know, bowing your left wrist or whatever it is, but they're probably not going to do that much. If you're hitting fat shots, you've got to get your weight over to your forward foot so that you can control the low point of your swing. And so that's where we can help people. We're not going to be, you know, going all over the place with different swing thoughts. We're going to nail it down to one or two key things that you should be practicing, and we're going to progress through your game in that fashion.
And that's the clipping the tee. Like when you're at the driving range and you have the rubber tees on the mat, you know, just hit, don't even put a ball down. Just start as your warm up. You warm up, you know, you stretch, you want to stretch your body, get yourself comfortable. And then you want to take some swings, not a full swing yet. You want to take some, but just clip the tee. Just bam, bam. And after a while, you get into this rhythm, this bam, bam. You just feel where it's supposed to go. You start feeling it. And then when you put the ball on, it's always an intimidator. I don't care, you know, it's an intimidator. But you'll have that sense, that rhythm. You'll have the rhythm. You'll know what the bottom of your swing is. I think a lot of people have a hard time. I know I do when I take the game from my lesson with you, Jason Digert, the center director at Golf Tech, and I go to the golf course. All of a sudden, there's all these different greens. The grass isn't one color, and it's the depth. How high is the grass? Where's my ball in there? And so then you're going to have to realize that when you go from practice to the golf course, that's where the issues begin too. You know, knowing where the bottom of your swing is. So take those practice swings in that grass, step away from the ball, find the bottom of your swing, you know, clip the top of the grass. All of this is what Jason Digert has taught me to do. And it's in a very comfortable environment with video feedback. And we've gone through irons and fairway wood and my driver. I was always afraid of the driver. I'm not afraid of it as much anymore. I'm starting to learn the ball position teaches you the ball position. So important, you know, and what's next?
Yeah. So, you know, in going through this, I think we've kind of narrowed it down to a couple key things for you to practice with your irons and the fairway woods and the driver. And they're very consistent in terms of the swing path, you know, divots and, you know, hitting the business card, clipping the tee. And I think the next thing we want to look at is short game.
Danielle, short game. Yes.
Yeah, some things that are great with video is to make sure that a player establishes good fundamentals with their chipping and putting. Their chipping and putting are probably technically the easiest shots in golf. They don't require a lot of strength. They just require, they don't require a lot of strength or speed. They just require good fundamentals, a little bit of timing, a little bit of tempo. But the fundamentals are the key part, so it allows you to strike the ball consistently. Using video and kind of seeing and getting a feel for where your body wants to be, where the ball should be, with putting, a proper grip to allow you to swing the club more in a pendulum-type motion without a lot of wristiness. And these little things, when you see it on camera, can really help you establish a groundwork for how to hit these shots. And then once you've got that, then you can get out on the golf course and apply it and practice your chipping. And we have a couple key things for you to practice and controlling, where's the ball landing, with putting, distance control, and being able to hit the ball down your target line. I mean, a couple of little things that once you have good fundamentals, it's going to make those parts of it a lot easier.
This is Jason Dygert. He's the Center Manager, Director of Instruction of Golf Tech Hawaii. And the number is 441-0105. And he's got something happening right now, the March swing sale. That is the month of March, and there are precious few days left. The March swing sale at Golf Tech. You save up to 20% off game plans and lesson packages, and it ends on March 31st. So get in touch with Jason. 441-0105. Thanks so much for being on the show. I'll see you Monday.
Okay, Danielle. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Aloha.
Aloha.
We're going to come back and see. I don't know about this this match play format. I like match play. What's going on now on the weekend? It's exciting. It was this pool play before the final 16 that, four guys in 16 groups and playing with in the pool. And it was just odd, very difficult to keep track of. We're going to come back and talk with a fabulous writer, Gary Van Sickle, right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Strong, quiet, dependable, reliable. Sounds like a great husband for my daughter. But really, it's your new Rainer garage door. Your home deserves the beauty and dependability that only Rainer can give. Call us today at 676-3667. Ask about our fall special and save money as you improve your home. That's Rainer Hawaii, 676-D-O-O-R.
My doctor recommended Allen Nakata and Associates, the pre-Social Security and Social Security recipient specialists on Oahu and Maui. The team will help you and your parents avoid problems before they come up. Our dedication, commitment, experience, and empathy comes from the heart. Call Allen Nakata and Associates at 548-7526. Learn how you can hang on to what you have and keep your parents at home. Allen Nakata is your guide.
Work the ball, play more break, be aggressive.
Wow, 6 feet past the cup. What was I thinking?
Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
We have a great day to play a round of golf. I'm just tweeting something real quick. My Twitter for the Golf Club is the Golf Club on Twitter, at the Golf Club. Gary Van Sickle, golf writer, you may remember, Sports Illustrated, and contributor Morning Read, contributor to the Golf Insiders. But I found him now on Morning Read, and I'm enjoying all of the Morning Reads I get in my inbox, and you can get one too. It's absolutely free. All you do is go to morningread.com, and then you put in your email address, and then in the morning you get your Morning Read. Simple. And one of the things that I was really enjoying, the fact that Gary Van Sickle seemed to help me with the decision about what needs to be done. I need to get in touch with those people at the World Golf Championship and Dell Technologies Match Play and tell them that it's way too confusing for those of us who work. You know, there's like a big group of people out there working. And during the week, what I do is I just check the leaderboard. I like to know what's going on the tours. So I kind of go to the LPGA, go to the PGA tour, and I look and I see, oh, look who's doing this and look who's doing that. And gee, it's, you know, all sort of, I can see. Well, with this WGC match play, I was like, this is more confusing than life. I mean, I have enough in my life going on. I don't need to sit here for a half an hour to try to figure out who's where in which pool and how far they've gotten and where they're going to go next. Where are they going next? They're not going anywhere. Wow. So now it's exciting. Now, you know, for the weekend. But I just felt very uncomfortable. And there's some other interesting things that Gary wrote about. We're going to talk all about that now. First, I have to get him into the clubhouse. Welcome, Gary.
Thanks for having me, Danielle. Remember, the morning read is free. So remember, you get what you pay for.
There's that sarcasm. You're good. All right. So I was reading your decision on how to fix. You give us several different options. You start by saying round robin doesn't fly. So here's a match play fix. What do you think of this match play?
Well, I'm with you. I love match play. It's the most exciting, most entertaining form of golf because each hole's got a conclusion, you know, and let's say you're a spectator at the U.S. Open. Maybe you care if Lee Jansen hits a good shot. Maybe you care. Maybe you don't. But in match play, every shot's do or die. Or like a Ryder Cup is a good example. Everybody cares about every shot, and that's why match play is fun. And that do or die urgency, that win or go home sense that we had in the match play before they rearranged the format was great. But, yeah, you kept losing Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson in the early rounds, or Ricky Fowler, or some of the fan favorites. But that was that danger is what that danger is what makes it exciting. And now you've got this 16 pods and the round robin, and a guy can win, and you don't know if that's going to be good. I mean, it's 3 days of non-do or die golf that kind of are boring. I'll be honest, I found it very difficult to watch any of the golf the last 3 days. And I like golf, obviously, and I had a hard time watching it. I know last year there were, 21 players went 2-1 and didn't advance, or 12 players went 2-1 and didn't advance, and 2 players only won one match and did advance to the final 16. Huh? So you can go 1-1-1 and win a playoff and still get in, which is okay. You've got 3 boring days now, followed by 2 days of exciting match play when you could have 5 days of exciting match play. I mean, that's in a nutshell. You've ruined the best days in golf of the year for me, other than a major, were Thursday and Friday at the match play, because you had these matches going on and big names are getting beat or big names are winning. It was exciting, you know, and on Wednesday wasn't as good because 32 matches is too many. Your head spins. There's 32 matches going on. You can't keep track of them all. You can't get your head around them. And now you've got 3 days of 32 matches, and it's just too much. It was better before. It was simple. Everybody could understand it. Now we got pods, and, you know, and you got guys playing on Friday. Neither guy in the match can get a chance of advancing. And they're like, do we have to play? Can we go home and get ice cream or
exactly,
whatever?
Exactly.
You know?
It was so ridiculous. They had to play, but they couldn't go anywhere. It was like, hello?
Yeah, you know, it felt like indentured servitude.
Yeah, but exactly.
It's just not as interesting, and they lost me, and now I'll watch in the weekend, except now you're into basketball. But
yes.
My other idea was, you know, since the players, the fans, and the sponsors hate to go there on Wednesday, go to all this trouble, and half the field goes home after one day. Everybody hates that. We all agree. But I think if you back it up against another big event, you know, these guys have traveled a long ways. If you made a WGC doubleheader, if you take that tournament in Mexico that used to be at Doral, and you play that, and you go right from Mexico to Austin, and the thing starts on Wednesday, and 32 guys go home Wednesday, I mean, they're not really inconvenienced much. they were going to have to come here for the other World Golf Championship also. It's kind of a match play, not a match play, a World Golf Championship doubleheader.
Yeah.
And I think that would be a lot easier. I think you could sell that, and both events, you know, would be just as exciting, and you wouldn't have guys skipping like you do this year. You're going to have to move this event, both those events, to the end of the West Coast swing. You know, when the West Coast swing ends, then you do this WGC doubleheader, then you go to Florida. Because right now you have guys skipping Bay Hill to play these WGCs because they're getting ready for the Masters, and you got guys skipping the match play this week to get ready for the Masters. A lot of things, unintended consequences that didn't work out, I don't think.
Yeah, I like your mix and match idea. That, you know, doing some stroke play and then the low 16 advancing. I can, you can kind of get behind all the guys working towards becoming the top of the leaderboard and then going into match play. I think that's exciting too.
That would work. And, you know, at least you're guaranteed to have all the big names for 2 days. Now, is that going to affect attendance? I mean, you're talking about Wednesday and Thursday, which maybe, you know, when school is on, aren't going to be the most heavily attended days anyways, but at least you're guaranteed of having, you know, in the old days, it was all Tiger and Phil. Now we got, four guys who are kind of move the needle, plus Phil. But you're guaranteed to get two days of those guys, so TV likes that, whatever, and you're still going to figure out who the best guys are going to win. You know, I don't like, the thing about match play is it's fun to watch, but it's not a very good way to determine a champion. How many guys who won the match play over this month since it's been invented, how many of them who won ever beat Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson along the way? They were the two best players in the world, and you wind up not having to face them because somebody else beat them. Or, you know, Tiger did win a couple times, but, you know, in stroke play, you got to beat the best players in the world over 72 holes. You got to beat them every day. And in this thing, usually the winner never played either one of them.
Yeah.
So if you get some weird winners in match play, That's the way it is. That's why it shouldn't be a major championship, but it's one of the drawbacks. I thought you'd get better winners having this round robin thing of, you know, better players, better winners advancing, but, you know, it's still an 18-hole match. Anything can happen. If a guy gets hot, you know, it's 18-hole match, but a lot of the matches don't go 18 holes. I mean, they may only go 14 holes. So if you're Jordan Spieth and you're going up against Tanahara or one of these guys and they make six birdies in the front nine, I mean, you only got 14 holes. I mean, your head's spinning. You can't do anything except pack your bag and go home. So it's not a great way to find a winner. But as you said to start it off with, it's the most fun form of golf to watch because it's easy. You win a hole, you lose a hole, you know, and there's no drama. You know, if Tiger Woods is playing a guy in stroke play, and maybe the guy's beating Tiger by five shots going the last four holes. Well, he's going to feel the pressure. He might mess up. He could make a triple. In a match play, you can only lose one hole. So there's less pressure in that sense. But I love watching it, and I like this tournament. I just wish they would go back to the old format, and or at least, as you said, the mix and match would be good too. This one right now with the round robin play, and I don't know. They lost me on that one.
They lost me completely. I was, I went to the Puerto Rico Open because at least it was something. There's the leaderboard. Yes, okay. Now I can move on. Dustin Johnson. Now he could break a record, couldn't he? He could beat Tiger Woods' record for winning all of the WGCs. Something Tiger didn't do.
Well, he could. They're relatively new events, but I mean, they started in the Tiger era, and honestly, Tiger was probably one of the reasons they were invented, to get Tiger in the, you know, they invented tournaments that Tiger kind of had to show up for.
Right.
So that made him appealing to TV and made it appealing to the sponsors. So they were kind of invented for him, and he made the most of it. His record there for a while, I don't know what it was, but he had won like 14 out of,
oh yeah,
22 or something ridiculous, where back in the old days when he was king. So anytime you're surpassing Tiger Woods, you know, you're doing pretty good.
Yeah, it's just that he could win all of, you know, I think Tiger didn't win the one, the HSBC or something like that. You know, there was one.
Yeah, the one, that's a relatively newer one. That's the one in China.
Yeah.
Or Singapore, I think. So I don't, I think that one we didn't start till the mid 2000s.
Ah,
no wonder. So he didn't have as many chances on that one. But it doesn't matter. They don't ask you how many games you played. They ask you how many you won. So if you beat the record, you beat the record. And Tiger will just have to sit back and watch on TV and lump it.
And why? And now, do you think he's going to play the Masters?
I don't see how. You know, if you step back and look at it, here's a guy who's had three back procedures. And after the third one, he took almost a year and a half off. And then when he came back, he played a couple tournaments, and two tournaments, and hurt his back again. Now, that sounds, I'll be honest, I'm not as much concerned about Tiger the golfer as I am about Tiger the normal person. Here's a 41-year-old guy who I don't know if he can get up and down out of a chair. I mean, I think his quality of life is more of an issue than being able to swing a golf club. And if you were four, and we don't get any information, we only get what Tiger tells us. And as we all know, one thing we know about Tiger is he lies to the media. So we don't really know what kind of shape he's in. But the fact that he's not playing anywhere that we know of, I'm afraid that, if I was forced to bet my money, I probably would bet that he's either not going to play another tournament ever, or he'll just play a couple and try it, and it's not going to work. I don't see him winning. I don't see him being competitive. A bad back and to have three procedures on it, I can't name 10 guys in the history of golf who had one back surgery and really came back and did anything. Guys like Tom Pertzer, Rocco Mediate, Retief Goosen has come back from surgery, but now he's got the yips. But there's a short list of guys who had back operations who came back and even resumed a PGA Tour career. Most of them, got jobs in TV or went back and got a real job. They got out of golf. So I'm pretty concerned about his health, but I having not played in anything, and as far as we know, not even being sighted at a golf course, I don't see. I'll be surprised if he plays. I would not be surprised if he doesn't play in anything the rest of this year or ever. If he says I'm done, I'd go okay. That's what I was afraid of, but we'll have to see. If you got a bad back, there's no part of the golf swing that you can use that's not going to hurt.
Exactly. I want to thank you for being on the show, and I want to thank you for writing a really cool piece about the Arnold Palmer Invitational. When you wrote about there being ways to honor Arnold Palmer better than a statue, if you want to honor Palmer, this is Gary Van Sickle, golf writer, live a good life, be a good person, and play golf the Arnie way. And Juan Elizondo, the inventor and owner of Speedstick, a training aid, commented on your article, "Pros can salute Palmer in ways beyond playing at Bay Hill." And I thought that was very, very cool of what you wrote, and for him to comment on that. Thank you. It was really nice meeting you. I hope you'll be on the show again.
Well, all you have to do is call me, Danielle. I'll be glad to come back.
Thank you.
Even better if you sent over a jet to pick me up and fly me out there for being in the studio, but I'll settle for the phone.
Okay. I thank you, because I don't got Tiger Woods' finances.
Okay. Well, I don't either, so I guess we got that in common.
We've got that in common. Thank you very much, Gary Van Sickle, golf writer. You can go to Morning Read, put in your email address, and you'll get Morning Read in your inbox every morning. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, "Call Futuristone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futuristone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing! 841-2837. Your experts on call.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf easier with the coaching of Master PGA Teaching Professional Claude Brousseau. Claude will simplify your game, scratch golfer or just beginner. As a two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, now with the Ko'olina Golf Academy, you will get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
Teed up the ball, feet grounded, taking a deep breath, rip it and rip it. Did I do that? Now back to Danielle Tucker.
If you'd like to get out and play a round of golf at Makalei, there's a 940, and on Volcano, it's actually on the Volcano, but it's the name of the golf course is Volcano. There's a 10:30 and an 11:30 at Kiahuna. They're probably out playing. Have a great time. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. But I'd like to point out that at Poipu Bay, there's an 11:20, a 12 o'clock gift cards. If you've got a present that you need to and you don't know what to get for your golfer, gift cards, perfect, from Poipu Bay Golf Course. The Southside Men's Club is going out, and may you all hit the sweet spot every time. And then they're going to close the back nine this afternoon for the Bum Run. Yes, the Bum Run. It's to raise money for charity to fight cancer. So that's all happening at Poipu Bay. At Turtle Bay, there's an 11:30 or a 12 o'clock. Makaha East has a 10:30. In fact, they have between 8:30 and 10:30, they've got tea times. And at Kapolei, there's an 8:45. It's right around the corner, I know. And the Federal Golf Club and the Players Golf Club, they're going out today and going to have a great time, right? Ron Syrak, Golf Digest senior writer, Golf Channel contributor. Golf is, Ron has been covering for years and years. He's at ronsyrak.com. You can get stories and all of the background, which we're going to get right now. As we go into the next 2 weeks, the ANA Inspiration and the Masters at Augusta are two events, majors. And so actually the LPGA can say they have the first major of the year. And of course, then we have the Masters at Augusta. Welcome to the show, Ron.
Thanks for having me on again, Danielle.
Absolutely. This is with Lydia Ko not making it into the weekend, missing the cut at the Kia Classic. Were you surprised?
Well, you know, I was curious to see how it was going to work out for her, having made all those changes, changing coach, caddies, club, ball, the whole works. And I think she's still going through an adjustment period. Only the second missed cut of her career, so it was a little bit stunning. But I do think that there's going to be a period where she's going to have to find a new balance with all the changes.
So she's just going to have to settle into it like anybody would with the swing changes. Why, you know, I often ask myself, you've got this great swing. Why change? She thinks it's going to make her better?
You know, it's interesting. I was talking to Judy Rankin about this, and she thinks that what Lydia's trying to do is go back to the swing she used to have.
Oh.
And going back to her kid's swing and getting more in touch with that, which might not be a good thing. Look, some of the changes she was working on with David Ledbetter was to try to figure out how to get her more distance off the tee. That's the, you know, the biggest problem she has is, you know, with Erika Jukanagarn can drive with her 2-iron, and Lydia's going to be giving away 20, 30 yards off the tee. So that's a big struggle for her, and she was trying to figure out how to get longer. In the process, she sort of got the left miss going, so it seems now she's trying to go back to playing the way she was when she was a kid, and that's pretty hard. That's funny to say about somebody who's still a teenager.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, she won so much with that swing that she had. So I imagine what she would, the best of two worlds would be to incorporate the comfortableness of that swing. She was so comfortable with it, and then, but somehow bring the length that she's learned. You think they can be put together?
Well, you know, I don't know, because, you know, she was, her original swing is a left to right ball flight, and they were trying to get her to move the ball right to left in order to get that little topspin roll off of hitting the draw out there. So, you know, I would like to think that she could find some more yardage just by continuing to grow more. She's still young, you know, continue to work out. And continue to work with her equipment reps in the labs to optimize launch angle, spin rate, and all those things where you could pick up a few yards.
Well, she's got PXG behind her now, so yeah. Yeah. That's a pretty big group. You know, they want to make sure that she's playing the best that she can play. And if the equipment can make a difference, then absolutely I can see them working with her. So,
and I'll say this, Danielle, about her, about Lydia, is she is very smart and she's very level-headed. Her feet are very much on the ground. So if anybody can work her way, think her way through this, it's Lydia.
And I don't know her, but I completely agree. And I'm not sure if I talked with you about this. There's been so much going on in the game. But with the USGA rules changes and the golfers not being able to allow, you know, have the caddy line them up, have the caddy actually put the club head in the position that's correct for them. I mean, all of that seemed awfully silly to me that they were allowed to do that in the first place. Have you heard any rumblings on the LPGA about how that's going to affect players who are accustomed to that?
Well, first off, all the caddies that I know are thrilled. They hated doing that, and they didn't want to be. And most of the time, I've walked a ton of golf holes out there, and almost every time you just hear the caddy say, okay, looks good, you know, because you're never going to say to a player, wow, you're way off there, because you're going to be getting in their head too bad. On Twitter, the only player, you know, I was a big supporter. I think it's a good rule to get rid of the lining up. I think it's going to be ultimately good for the players because it'll get them to trust themselves more. The only player who's disagreed with me openly on Twitter was Brittany Lincecum, who said that being lined up by her caddy is an important part of her pre-shot routine.
Huh. And here she's coming on so strong. I mean, she just won, and she seemed to be getting her game back. So I can see where that would really strike her, you know. But I always thought that it's, you know, it's part of the game. It's part of your ability to do all of this stuff shows that you're the superior player because you're able to do all of that stuff. And you don't need any help showing you where the line is.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, the next thing you know, you might as well give them wind gauges and wind speed measuring devices out
yeah,
there. So they don't have to figure that out themselves either.
Yeah. Okay, so at the Kia Classic, besides Lydia Ko missing the cut, look at the Americans. I haven't been able to see the leaderboard in a while, but Christy Kerr in the lead by a stroke over Miriam Lee and Mo Martin. What is it about this course that suits their games?
Yeah, you know, we've got four Americans in the top seven going into today's play out there. And you know, the Americans are doing okay early here in the year. I mean, we've had Brittany won the tournament, first tournament of the year. And we have other, Stacy, Michelle Wee have all contended and gotten in there. So it looks like, and there's three, this is something, there's three American teenagers who are out there right now. Angel Yin from California, Megan Kang from Massachusetts, and Nelly Korda. Who are playing very respectably out there. So I think there's a lot of reasons for hopefulness for the Americans going forward.
Yeah, and then watching the event last week, over this week, the Kia Classic, it was just, we had Bank of Hope Founders Cup. We had Indy Chun, Arya Chutanagan, Stacey Lewis, Hannah Jang, Inbee Park, Soyeon Ru, Moira Chutanagan. Her first name, say her first name for me.
Mariah.
Mariah. Thank you. Mariah Jutanagarn and Lydia Ko. So they were all like right there at the top. And Michelle kind of fell back on the weekend. That was, she had the 72-70 after her 65-67, which was absolutely fantastic to see her so close and so happy. Now the, you know, we've got Imbie Park, T49, Stacey Lewis, T40, Brittany Lang, Michelle Wee down T29. It's just interesting that Jutanagarn's, Lexi Thompson, Austin Ernst, chasing. It's like after, I was just thinking about how you can have your game on. You are right there. You just feel the momentum. And then you're moving from one tournament to the next week, and you tee it up. And there's so many variables that have nothing to do with your ability to strike the golf ball that then come into play and completely change your quote-unquote ability to win an event.
And you got to think that some of the players this week playing can't help but be looking ahead the next week. Always tough to play the week before a major. But, you know, the LPGA is going to be pretty happy. Four of the five winners so far this year have been ranked in the top 11 in the Rolex rankings. And the only one who isn't, Brittany Lincecombe, has two majors, you know. And that's not even, I mean, you know, we've had Hana Jung, Amy Yang, Imbie Park, Anna Nordqvist win. So that's not even, we don't even have Lydia Ko and Imbie Park and Brooke Henderson and Arya Jutanagarn in the mix. So I would think that the tour's got to be looking at it and saying, wow, our cream's rising to the top early in the season.
Yeah. What is the difference between, now I'm thinking golf course. Because these players, that's the biggest variable for them, the different golf courses that they come up against, right? So they've gone to the Kia Classic, and here's that variable. Now, it's a new golf course. They were in the desert at the Bank of Hope Founders Cup. They were just hitting on all cylinders, and now they're, you know, trying to deal with this new golf course. Is it a very different golf course going from the Kia Classic to the ANA?
Yeah. It's going to be, first off, the ANA is going to play several hundred yards longer than what they're playing in Kia, and they're probably going to have major championship rough there. So, I mean, those would be the two biggest things where all of a sudden you're not going to be hitting wedges into all the par fours, and you're going to be penalized if you miss off the tee. And, you know, that's why the majors, much more than on the men's tour, there's a real difference from week to week on the LPGA. There's been a real trend in recent years to set the courses up a little bit shorter than they had been setting them up and making them more scoreable.
Oh.
And then you get to the major championships and it becomes a little bit harder test.
I was wondering if with the Bank of Hope Founders Cup scores, I mean, the scores on the LPGA have been amazing under par. Thought, you know, are the course, do they need to play more difficult courses? You just answered the question. The setup is different.
Right. And at the Bank of Hope, at the Founders Cup, they also had 95 degree temperatures and really hard, firm fairways. So the ball was going even further there. But they have really sort of scaled courses back a little bit and to try to make them more attackable. And one of the hard things, I would think, setting up a golf course on the LPGA is got to be one of the great challenges in all of golf, because the differences between where the long hitters hit the ball and where the short hitters hit the ball is much more dramatic than it is on the men's tour. You know, you've got somebody like Arya Jutanagarn who can hit a 275 with a 2-iron off the tee, and you've got Lexi hitting a 280 and some big bombers out there, but then you've got other players who are hitting a 230, 235, and are playing hybrids and fairway woods into par fours. So it's a big difference to try to figure out a way to set the course up so that it's playable for both.
I know as a journalist, you are an impartial observer and you write as it happens, what happened. Do you have anybody you're watching who you think is going to peak, if I can put it that way, for the ANA inspiration?
Well, I think going in, it's what I said. We're seeing a lot of people play well, and we're looking for somebody who's going to be the person who breaks out of the pack the way Arya Jutanagarn did last year and win five tournaments, or will Lydia get back on track and win four like she did last year? So, or Hanan Zhang win three times. So we're waiting for somebody to look, step forward and say, okay, I'm going to be the number one player this year. I think we're in an interesting time on both the men's and the women's tour. I don't think we have a clear number one on either tour. I think what we have instead is, on the men's side, maybe eight or nine players who are capable of being number one. And on the women's side, probably four or five who are capable of being the number one player.
Interesting. Even with Dustin Johnson, what he's doing, you still feel like he's not showing himself as the number one? Or is this another Jason Day-like kind of scenario where he's on it and then may fall back again?
Well, he's number one, but I also think that if Rory McIlroy goes out and has his A game with the driver, he's the best player in the world.
Yes.
And I think that Jason Day, if he's got his A game, he could be the best player in the world, you know?
Yes.
We're seeing nobody go out there, and Dustin is the closest thing, but we're seeing nobody go out there and play week after week the way that we saw Tiger Woods play for so many years. And there was, you know, for so long, we had number one Tiger Woods and number 1A Phil Mickelson for like 15 years. And that was it. We don't really have that right now. We sort of have a revolving door at the top for number one. And I think that's exciting in a very different way than it was when we had the clear number one. But it should create some really fireworks at some of the majors.
Yes. Yes, I'm certainly hoping so, because it's been exciting the last couple of years, and I've just been thrilled at the way the LPGA, how strong they're coming here. They're going to be here for the Lotte in just a couple of weeks. It's amazing how time flies, and we're all having so much fun while we're doing it. Something happened on March 15th here in Hawaii. A woman who was truly an amazing woman. I had four children and yet went on to win five times on the LPGA. And she started off, it's an interesting story. Reagan Lee was teaching the EWGA short game clinic, and his grandfather was actually teaching Jackie Pung. You know, the islands have a unique sort of family dynamic when it comes to golf families. They're all very close. Jackie Pung died at the age of 95. And my first inclination was to call Marilyn Smith and tell her. I have not done so yet, but she always asked me. She was one of the founders, is one of the founders of the LPGA Tour. Marilyn Smith is. And she always asked me how Jackie Pung was doing. So when you heard that Jackie Pung died at the age of 95, what were your thoughts, Ron?
Yeah, you know, there are really several women out there who aren't considered among the 13 women who founded the LPGA, but were just as important as those women. And Jackie was certainly one of them. You know, she was an early player in the tour, won five times on the LPGA, and you know, I mean, she won the Hawaiian Women's Amateur four times three years in a row, four times altogether, I think. U.S. Women's Amateur, and you know, that was a time you think about that when she was winning the Hawaii Amateur in the 30s and 40s. LPGA hadn't even been formed yet, so there really were barely pro golfers out there anyway. The best players were playing amateur golf, and she was one of them.
And she was playing on the boys' team in high school. On the boys' team, there were no girl teams. So she was really an amazing woman. And not only her, but her mom, because her mom took on the duties of raising two of the girls while two would travel with Jackie. So talk about superwomen, really amazing. What's amazing is it's already that time of the year for the Masters. And I was going to take a break, but I think we don't have the time to do that. So, Ron Cyrak, the person who has covered more majors than anyone I know and who is always at the Masters and will be there again this year, I'm wondering, with the Azaleas not making it through spring, what else will we see different at the Masters at Augusta National?
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing, that we're going to miss peak flower season down there. So that's sort of sad. But, well, the other new thing we're going to see, Danielle, is the always-changing Augusta National, as a new media center, that unbelievable media center that we've operated out of for the last 25 years, which is unbelievably state-of-the-art when you consider they only use it 1 week a year. Well, they've blown that up and built an even better one.
Amazing.
I have to say, you know, the storyline, the overriding storyline going into Augusta has got to be Jordan Spieth, the guy who won there, sandwiched in between two really heartbreaking and painful to watch meltdowns there. So he's had a real roller coaster ride at Augusta.
Yes. And do you think he will pull it off this time?
I have a lot of confidence in him. Like I said about Lydia, he's somebody else who's feet are firmly on the ground. Talking about caddies, he's somebody I'd like to see interact a little less often with his caddy. And just speed the whole thing up a little bit out there. But he's a tough kid. He's got a really solid game, top to bottom. And, I think he'll remember his win there more than he'll remember his two losses.
When I started doing this show many years ago, 19 years, I always wondered why they didn't give their caddies more credit. You know, the caddy was carrying the bag. The caddy was never talked about. He was shuffled off to Buffalo while the player was standing tall and beautiful and, you know, taking that trophy. And we didn't hear anything about any caddy contributions. Now, some 20 years later, all I can hear is we did this and we did that. And I'm tired of the we. The team, yeah. You know, it's like this team thing. Well, I see a guy playing a game on a golf course, and I'm glad that he's acknowledging. But when he's standing in front of the media, I really think that I like it when they say, you know, I hit that shot really well, or I didn't do very well today. Just owning their game. I think it makes it, it just makes you stronger. Rory McIlroy. Now, he could have a career grand slam if he wins this one finally.
Yeah, and he's somebody else who's had roller coaster experiences. Yeah, he's had some couple of really memorable meltdowns. I remember him working his way through the hospitality houses on the left of number 10 one year ago. And he hit maybe the single worst second shot I've ever seen hit on that hole. And again, it was painful to watch. I wrote something recently about how, unlike any other sport, golf is the one game you can't concentrate on playing defense. You can't hide behind a teammate. You can't have them take you out of the game and rest you for a while. When it starts going south, you just got to be out there and very publicly suck it up and take it. That's hard to watch.
Yeah, it's hard to do it, too. I mean, it's, you know, that really shows the grit of the person. And I really thank you, Ron Cyrak. I can't wait to talk to you when you're at Augusta. And you've got to tweet some pictures. You can follow Ron at Ron Cyrak, RONSIRAK. Very simple. You can see him on Golf Channel, on Morning Drive, and I assume you're going to be on all of their shows. So I'm just really happy that you're such a strong presence and you're back on the show so often. It's a pleasure. I can't wait to talk to you from Augusta.
Talk to you down the road, Daniel.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, we're going to thank the people who make this show possible. Alan Nakata and Associates, the pre-Social Security and Social Security recipient specialists here on Oahu and Maui. The team will come up and help you create a plan. Not just for you, but get your parents in, because they're in just as much denial as you are. Avoid problems before they come up. Alan Nakata, 548-7526. Futura Stone, Futura Stone's master craftsmen turn buildings, warehouses, showrooms, home projects into artwork. You should check out Futura Stone, only the best. Creative Plumbing, whether a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, a townhouse, whether it's a new build, a renovation, or a repair, call Creative Plumbing, because it's got to be done right. Creative Plumbing. Rainer Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom, provide lasting security, safety for your business, for your home. And if you want to enhance the value of your home, you need to get in touch with Rainer Doors, because I read something about the most painting the house and then a garage door, automatic opening garage door, is the second thing that you can do to increase the value of your home. And you should get in touch with Rainer Doors. We've also got Claude Brousseau to thank, Master PGA Professional, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Vision 54 Coach, Aimpoint Certified, and Golf Channel Lead Coach. You need a lesson with Claude Brousseau. And Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted the PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years. Poipu Bay Golf Course, an outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. My show is at radiogolfclub.com. It streams live internationally, of course. Anybody who's got a computer can listen to it while it's happening. It's also podcast at radiogolfclub.com. It's also podcast at Stitcher, on SoundCloud, iTunes, and TuneIn. I hope you'll tune in again if you're catching us for the first time. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Strong, quiet, dependable, reliable. Sounds like a great husband for my daughter, but really, it's your new Rainer garage door. Your home deserves the beauty and dependability that only Rainer can give. Call us today at 676-3667. Ask about our fall special and save money.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.